third down and 20.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Third and 20 Dynasty Podcast. I'm JT, joined by Frank and Lunas, season 4, episode 6. And I'm just going to kick us off real quick with some news and notes. We talked about him, I believe, last week, if not 2 weeks ago. Anthony Richardson, he was dealing with a shoulder injury. We weren't sure how long he's going to be out for. Now he turns out he's going to get surgery. He's going to be out for the year. And I'll tell you what, guys, I talked about the injuries not really panicking me last week. But Anthony Richardson being out for a whole year when he's supposed to be having like his developmental season, I was really supportive of what the Colts were doing. They drafted the player high. They threw him in right away. It's kind of like the opposite of what the 49ers did with Trey Lance and what a lot of other teams have done with their quarterbacks that they've drafted high. They threw Anthony Richardson into the fire right away, and he had a good learning experience, albeit he only completed 2, I think, full games. Now we're going to have a whole season without Anthony Richardson, and he's essentially going to be a rookie next year again as well. So where I'm going with this is I think his value will still hold. I feel pretty confident that his value will still hold, because even if he is bad to start next year, you can explain it away through injuries and everything. But if I'm talking like long-term outlook on Anthony Richardson, I can't see how this is going to be a positive. Like, I think there's a negative. I would be moving off him now. If you're telling me I can either hold Anthony Richardson for the next 5 years or move off him right now, I'm moving off Anthony Richardson.
So the reason I disagree with you is that I think it is this news, not that it's necessarily a positive, but in my opinion, the long-term outlook, I like this for Anthony Richardson's long-term outlook simply because solve the problem now, get it done, let him get rehab, you know. I understand the whole developmental thing. I do think that is annoying. I don't think it's the end of the world because, like, to me, this is like a multiple year situation anyway. I wasn't going to expect Anthony Richardson to come out next year and all of a sudden just have everything click. But I really would want to make sure, because we saw it with Cam Newton, right? Like, playing through so many different things don't actually fix the problem. And all of a sudden, a couple years down the line, you're completely cooked. Like, just solve the problem now. Well, don't let an injury in your rookie season impact you 6-7 years down the road because you wanted to just get some meaningless games in for experience.
To build on that real quick, just I guess to add to your point, is that we've seen it before with like the likes of Baker Mayfield, right, who did play through an injured shoulder injury, had a terrible season, and people still haven't forgiven Baker Mayfield for that. Like, they haven't. His value has been completely depressed from that one bad season. So in that regard, yeah, I do see why, like, if he was playing hurt and had bad games and everything, like, I think he would be unfairly punished. But I'm just saying from, like, a long-term overall outlook, I don't feel nearly as confident. I mean, I guess I never was really confident in Anthony Richardson, but I feel even less so about his long-term outlook, how he's going to develop in this league and everything.
I'm more so on Frank's side, where I just consider it a hold. I mean, the injury sucks because, to JT's point, development-wise, you want him to play more games as a rookie. But I think it's more so just kind of what Frank said, like, while he's being out, just learning to not be as reckless. Because I think if he just pulls down the reckless plays, like trying to, like, drive defenders with his shoulder or, like, truck guys, he, in my opinion, like, and I know you guys talked about it prior, I thought he looked good in the games that he did play. For a rookie quarterback in his situation, obviously not on like a level like a CJ Stroud, but I think probably between him and Bryce Young, I thought Richardson looked more impressive, especially fantasy wise with his rushing upside. So it sucks now, but I consider him an easy hold. It's just more so you hope that he comes out and he's like less reckless, I guess, on plays, to what Frank said, like risking injury over an extra 2 yards. Because I think just off like what you viewed, if you probably drafted him in the top 3 or 4 of your rookie draft. I would say, unless you're like competing this year where you'd want those points, you feel pretty good about him, like long-term, because this isn't a thing where it's like a torn Achilles or something like that. Like, this is an injury he'll be able to come back fully from, or at least he should. So I would view it just as like a hold situation.
I would entertain, though, kind of to JT's point, if I am a contender and I want a quarterback in replace of Anthony Richardson, you know, you have a couple of ways that you can go, a couple of avenues. You could either go super budget and just kind of pick up like a Josh Dobbs, not necessarily right now with Kyler coming back, but someone in that tier of price that just happens to be starting games. You can go the middle tier where you pick up maybe like a struggling quarterback or like a good but old vet. Or you could kind of go, and this is the route that I would recommend if I had Anthony Richardson and I wanted to just get points. You use this opportunity to find a team that has either gotten off to a rough start or has a good quarterback as a rebuilder and give them a package where they get a slight value advantage and you get a QB, right? You can get one of these deals where maybe someone's in a max points four race and they kind of have an incentive to get a high scoring quarterback, maybe a Tua, maybe a Burrow now that he's starting to turn it around, right? T-Law, if they had the first overall pick a couple years ago. I think it is worth paying the price if you're not giving up firsts to get these QBs, right? Try to get some tier downs either, you know, with second round picks or with a good receiver, maybe like tiering down from a DK into some older, maybe like a Nico Collins, right? A move like that, just off the top of my head, so that you can get a QB that's really in that top tier for Anthony Richardson.
I do like that idea. I wonder where, do you guys have where Anthony Richardson was, I guess right before his injury and now?
What, early his, second round startup.
Early second round. So he's probably what, Dynasty QB, like 7, 8?
I think maybe like 9 or 10 more so than 7 or 8.
Yeah.
But, I mean, okay. We could do it right now, right? So Allen, Mahomes, Hurts, Burrow, Herbert, Lamar Jackson. Where do we put Tua right now? Where do we
I would have Stroud after the names you listed, then Tua.
Okay, yeah, even Stroud, right? Yeah, I could definitely see Stroud ahead of him, especially with playing. So all of a sudden right there, I've listed 8, and that's just off the top of my head. I might be forgetting someone.
Consensus-wise, probably not, but I would still have like Kyler and Deshaun and those guys over him.
I think Deshaun's a hard one right now, but Deshaun, Kyler coming back, I can agree with.
Yeah. So,
that's the only way I'm selling, though. I'm only getting a QB back, and yeah. I only really want to upgrade. Other than that, I feel like I'd rather take the dice roll or just wait until he's back to sell on the hype in the offseason.
Mm-hmm. True. Speaking of that, one of those players, though, Kyler Murray he tweeted out today, I'm practicing. He's had his window open. He's now got 21 days to return to the team before he being put out for the year. So it's likely
with a full participant too, which is encouraging.
So we're likely going to see Kyler Murray in the next couple weeks. I'm pretty hyped for Kyler, guys. I think he's like, look, I don't think he's going to come back right away and light the world on fire. We just haven't really seen it much with basically any position right now, coming back from injury and just immediately producing. Cooper Kupp might be the only one that can come to mind as of recently. But look, I think Kyler Murray, when he's healthy and when he doesn't have a hurt shoulder at the end of the season like he kind of has had the past couple of years, or a hurt whatever, he's up there for a top 3 or 4 quarterback in the league, I think. And he's currently valued, I think, outside the top 10, if I looked at keep trade cut. So I would say this is your last buy now opportunity before you see a huge value increase. There is that chance that he starts off slow, like I was mentioning. So, I mean, maybe you have a few weeks, but I kind of hate timing the market in that regard. So if I'm really trying to go out and get Kyler Murray, it would be like right now.
Now, really, that last chance. I feel like I have the exact opposite viewpoint.
Really?
I think that the Kyler Murray buy period this entire time has been Fugazi Fugazi, unless you were willing to give up a pretty darn good quarterback or con someone into thinking that like a Daniel Jones was elite, or maybe you use like a Trey Lance. I think that the prices that in all of my leagues, and listen, I have seen some leagues where Kyler Murray was going for pennies on the dollar. I'm not saying it didn't happen. For every fucking league I was in, people were still asking for three firsts. And now that he's back, I don't think that anything's going down. So I would rather bet on the Deshaun Watson type scenario where he comes back and struggles and people are like, oh shit, Kyler Murray sucks. And then buy there, because I do agree with you guys. I do think that Kyler Murray is an elite quarterback. You look at his numbers compared to like Lamar Jackson and you're like, whoa, it's pretty staggering how good of a passer he is for how good of a rusher he is. Most of the running quarterbacks that we've seen that put up those type of numbers do not come with the passing numbers that he's had. So yeah, he's a dynamic player, but I think that the buy window has not been there.
So the problem, I somewhat agree in terms of people have probably been holding him this whole time and are looking to, you know, use him in their teams or whatever. But I think this is now where it's the optics of, oh, he's back. Like now I could sell him high kind of thing. And you think that you're selling him high. So let me clarify this in terms of like, I never thought the keep trade cut price of like 4,800, whatever points, essentially the same as Jared Goff and slightly above Jordan Love. I never thought that was the actual going price of Kyler Murray, right? But do I think Kyler Murray is valued somewhere around Tua, who's quarterback 8 and is 7,000 keep trade cut points? Yeah. I think you could probably put up a trade around that. You could probably do, I think there are a lot of times where you could do Tua for Kyler plus. Maybe the plus isn't great, but you can get a trade that way. And I think Kyler should be valued even higher than Tua. So if I'm trading, you know, Tua for Kyler plus, Trevor Lawrence for Kyler plus, I still think that's buying low for Kyler Murray. Because even if Kyler Murray does come back and is awful, right, his floor can't go much lower than what I'm saying. Like, he's currently rated around Jared Goff and Jordan Love and Sam Howell and Kirk Cousins. And, like, you know, like, there's way more negatives and downsides for those kind of players, either age or just bad quarterback play or and the like, you know. Comparatively to Kyler Murray, I get that Kyler Murray has the crazy contract and, you know, maybe the Cardinals have a top draft pick and look to move on from him, but this is a player that's going to be on a different team. Like, he's an actual good player, so I'm not concerned. And if he's on a team and he's starting games, he's going to be putting up points. It might not be right away from the injury, but I'm not concerned.
Yeah, so I pretty much agree with everything JT said about Kyler, so I won't repeat a lot of talking points. But yeah, like, I mean, when Kyler was playing well his first, like, three seasons, he's viewed as a top five dynasty quarterback. Even in his down year, if you look at his points per game, he was consistently a top 10 guy week to week, normally around, like, QB6, QB7 in his, like, down season. So I'm with JT on what he said about Kyler. The side note I do want to say, it's regarding not Kyler, but actually Hollywood Brown. So even though Hollywood Brown has put together like a pretty good season, I think when Kyler comes back, he has a chance to explode towards the end of the year. So right now, Hollywood Brown's probably what? He's like wide receiver 18, 19 on the season. So his price is probably like pretty high. But I saw this stat being brought up. He's, I think, fourth or fifth. I know he's top five in the NFL in air yards. Like, there's been a lot of production left on the table just because Josh Jobs has missed him deep. And I think even though you would kind of have to pay, like, a decent price for Hollywood now, I think it would pay off by the end of the season, especially when Kyler is, like, fully in rhythm back come fantasy playoff times and everything, that it would really pay off.
What do you think you'd have to pay for him? What's the price in your mind for Hollywood?
For Hollywood? Just, like, draft pick equivalent, I would guess probably something around, like, a 107, 108.
I think it's even less than that.
You think it's even less?
Well, because I'm wondering, because now that you got, I'm a super contender in one league. I lost J. Jeff, but I was thinking about trading my first for a player anyway. I've held on to it just because.
I don't think you have to trade a first for Hollywood.
Move for,
but I think it could very well be worth just that first straight up for Hollywood.
Look, I would. I'm not getting Hollywood was him and Deontay Johnson were my two biggest buys during the offseason for the wide receiver position. I'm definitely still all in on Hollywood. I don't think you have to give up the first.
Really?
He's been pretty solid this series.
I mean, I've got a guy like Dobbs. I'd be willing to do Dobbs plus. How much plus do I need? We've got 2/3 and a first in that league.
Dobbs plus? I don't know.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, dude, just give me...
I don't know what Dobbs would be valued at right now. Because do we think he's, like, starting on
the like, team? A mid-second?
Mid-second? Okay, that's fair.
I don't... We're talking about Josh Dobbs?
No, Romeo Dobbs.
Oh.
Oh, I think that's why I was like...
No, Romeo Dobbs. I feel like yeah. Romeo Dobbs has been pretty solid.
He has been.
He's been okay. He's probably like a late second, I would say, though. Especially, keep Kirk Cousins telling me somewhere between mid and late second. You could probably do Dobbs in a second for Hollywood, and I'd 100% smash do that.
If you could pull that off, yeah. I would throw in a third. I would debate the second, the other second. I would probably ask for like a third back. But yeah, I think Hollywood, especially once Kyle is back and he could hit him on more deep balls, because like the air yards and analytics like seem to like point to the fact, even though he's had a pretty good season, that he should be a lot better. I know same thing with Olave, where Olave is like top five in air yards, but the production hasn't fully matched it. So he's another guy I would like buy high on. But yeah, that was one of the first players that came to mind when I saw that Kyler was coming back.
Yeah. Olave, I said, was wide receiver 3 and really hasn't done anything since I said that. And I'm still 100% in.
Oh, yeah. On Olave.
All right. But now that we're talking receivers, let me get into these trade talks. So it was reported, we recorded on, I believe, Wednesday last week, Frank and I. And Thursday came out that the Broncos were likely going to trade Jerry Jeudy before the trade deadline. The Panthers were looking for a big wide receiver. So that was looking like it was going to happen. And then Thursday night football happened where Steve Smith and Jerry Jeudy got into it. And Steve Smith just completely destroyed Jerry Jeudy, completely destroyed. And he said, I don't know if I can't hear you, Lunas. I don't know if Frank can either. But yeah, so where I was going with that, though, is Steve Smith, notable Carolina Panther, said, if any team asked me if they should trade for Jerry Jeudy, I would tell them no. So that makes me think Steve Smith's kind of ending or is a big factor in this Jerry Jeudy, the Carolina Panthers, not happening, because we haven't seen Jerry Jeudy get traded yet. I still think he is going to end up on a different team, although Russell Wilson today said that he thinks Jerry Jeudy is a breakout candidate for this year. But yeah, what do you guys think? Jerry Jeudy getting traded? Is he ever going to actually put it all together? Is he going to stay healthy? What do you guys think?
I'm just annoyed because it just seems like he's super immature, which is really annoying. You were already scared of that with that, you know, in the offseason a while ago, he got into trouble with the law enforcement in some regard, which was unfortunate. But, you know, you're willing to let that slide because, I mean, on the field, he looked amazing. But it's just with the lack of production and now this nonsense, it's like, dude, if I had Jerry Jeudy, I'd be really pissed off. Because I do think he has the talent, but he's one of these dudes. I just don't think he's going to put it together. I don't think he has the personality to put it together. That's what it seems like from the outside.
Don't necessarily disagree. I mean, I've never been a Jerry Jeudy guy. I think everyone on this podcast knows that I've been anti-Jerry Jeudy. I just think you're going to get a sell opportunity soon, I would say, because right now what we're seeing from Jerry Jeudy just hasn't been it. And his value overall, as I'm looking him up right now, he's wide receiver 46 on Keep Trade Cut. And it's taken a sizable dip where he was wide receiver 18 over the offseason to wide receiver 46. I think you're going to see a big increase shortly. And then whenever that happens, I'm out on Jerry Jeudy. I'll pivot off him to a more consistent, stable wide receiver, someone who I think is going to score me, you know, 10, 12, 14 fantasy points a week, whereas Jerry Jeudy, I don't think, is giving you that. So if I'm looking around, Deontay Johnson's one. I talked about him earlier, biggest buy of my offseason. I still really like him, even though he's coming off IR. I'm going to try and pull up other wide receivers around that ranking. So we're looking at...
I don't know, because, like, if... I also like Deontay, but I'm not trading him for Jerry Jeudy unless you're giving me an overpay. I feel like you almost have to go for a more speculative play, maybe like someone that just feels really risky, like a Jaylen Warren type or something like that.
Okay, so you're saying,
Maybe I'm just way lower on consensus than Jerry Jeudy now as well, though, because if I had Jerry Jeudy, I would be hard-pressed not to just mass offer him for a second right now.
Yeah, you could probably, I mean, I just think the name value alone, it's kind of like Juju that we saw, like, the name value just holds a little bit more water and keeps that player afloat, where I think that's going to be still the case.
True. Well, what if you got, like, Jakobi Meyers?
Yeah, 100% would do that.
Like, you just gave Jeudy plus to get Jakobi. Because the problem that I would have right now with Jeudy is that what if he's just an extended Rager? Right? What if he's just an extendo Rager?
Well, he scored way more points.
Well, yeah, listen, no, he scored way more points, but it's like, dude, I'm scared. I'm scared. This is the same feeling that I got with Cam Akers a while ago. I could be fucking wrong. I could be completely wrong, but I would rather get out for a second than hold, hoping that this isn't a falling knife, and then have it go kaputs.
Well, because yeah.
I just feel like the chance of this is a falling knife and I can let someone else catch it instead of me and not go kaputs is way higher than all of a sudden Jerry Jeudy gets traded and this guy starts going nuts.
Definitely, but like my panic meter is not at an 11 right now where I think you need to get him off your team right this instant. But if you don't have him off your team before the trade deadline, I think you're going to be in serious trouble. I think 2 to 3 weeks seems like an apt amount of time for you to shop around and find a good deal for Jerry Jeudy to get out at something you like. It's not like he needs to be off your team before these Sunday games.
Man, but I will say, I really do am not liking how Russell Wilson is playing for this offense either.
Yeah,
I don't think that's helping Jeudy much.
I saw it was Russell Wilson and Sean Payton got traded for essentially, it was like Weatherspoon, Breece, and
it's insane what they've
done. Other player. Yeah. Yeah. For those two, they're putting up like 240 passing yards a game, and we're well below that mark against the Chiefs.
I have no idea how that team's going to play out with like this offseason. They're going to have a high first round pick, and don't they not have a first next season?
I could look it up while Frank's. I don't know what Frank's.
Yeah, I'm just looking at Jerry Jeudy's stats, right? Like, I mean, I could put it on the screen.
Oh, by the way, I'm more towards Frank's side. Where if I can get any second for Jeudy, I lean towards taking it. I think.
Oh, I didn't think I would be the more in.
I understand the waiting. If he's been on the trade block over the past couple weeks, and like if you want to try to wait. For maybe he gets traded somewhere and there's like a small value boost just because he's in a different situation and then to trade him then, sure. But like say he doesn't and you're just kind of stuck holding him. Because mm-hmm. part of the value right now you're getting in with him is that people do expect him to get traded.
Yeah. Yeah. But you also have the upside of like, all right, he's been pretty bad this season so far. I think he had like
he's been pretty catches. Horrible.
You could have just a good game out of him too that you could sell off.
Yeah, see the problem I have with Jeudy right now looking at the numbers is that I mean a they're not super spectacular. A rookie season decent, but he's also just been really inefficient on the targets that he's gotten, which almost makes me think that he's more. And this is annoying because I liked Jeudy a lot as a prospect. I still think that Jeudy has a shit ton of talent, which is, and I don't happen to have any of them, which like, thank the Lord up above, you know, that I just happen to not stumble myself into any Jeudy. So I don't have to deal with this bullshit, but I don't know, man. It's like, look, you look at this stat line here. And yes, I understand that he has the route running and he has like the I liked him as a prospect too. But I look at the stat line and it screams like second rounder to me. You know, it's like I'm just not sure if he gets traded, is he really going to go to a spot where a team is going to start throwing him 100 plus targets a year?
No, that's why you got to get out of him before the trade deadline. But I think you can hold before then. I don't think it's the floor is going to fall out tomorrow, but I think you're getting close to that.
Because the way you have to justify it is that you just have to think that they misuse Judy so much and his talent is just going to shine through. Like, you get him, but I don't know. I really don't think that if Judy was a stud Muffin McGee, I don't think that this offense is the thing that's like completely holding him back from having productive games.
Cortland Sutton's been putting up like way better numbers than Judy this season, the same offense.
Well, I think that Cortland Sutton kind of fits what Russell Wilson has been doing a little bit better than Judy. To me, with Judy, you want him almost how the Niners use Ayuk is how I would want Judy to be used. Now, I think the only issue is that Judy may not be anywhere near as good as Ayuk with the ball in his hands. He might fall flat compared to Ayuk in that regard, but maybe even like a Robert Woods in what McVay used to do with the Rams. But you need him to just be like timing, right? Like, you got to throw it on him on the break, and that offense is not, there's no timing at all. It's like half the plays are Russell Wilson immediately gives up on the concept and just starts running around.
True. All right, is that enough Jerry Judy talk? Do you guys have anything else for Judy or this offense, Broncos offense?
Tread carefully, my friends.
Agreed. All right, other trade news that's going around. I think this just dropped a couple hours before we recorded. The Titans are potentially looking to shop Derrick Henry, who is going to be 30 years old. They want to set him up with a contender and kind of do right by Derrick Henry. As this team kind of, the Titans don't seem to be looking great currently, especially with Ryan Tannehill battling an ankle injury. So is this one of those you try and get in and buy the rental hype? Frank, I think you were talking to me that you're not interested in Derrick Henry, but does a different team potentially impact that?
Dude, Henry's going to be good. He's going to be good this year, especially if he gets traded. So if you're a team looking for points, it really just depends on the price. And unfortunately, I don't think that there's any window to buy Tyjae as well, because I've got a handful of Tyjaes, and I'm not giving them up unless you're giving me something that's like actually worth giving them up. So it's really only Henry news.
Would you take like a mid or early second for Tyjae?
It have to be early, probably.
Early second?
I like, dude, a mid-second, what does that do? You know, what does that do for me? With the running back landscape how it is? Fuck no, I'm holding. So, okay. I think you have to give that early second. And I'm not actually sure it's worth giving the early second.
No, I wouldn't.
I don't know. I'm curious to hear what you think the price on Derrick Henry would be. I was kind of hoping coming into the season that the Titans would be one of these like low-key decent teams. Not necessarily as good as the Titans were before, but not dog shit tier, right? Especially adding D-Hop, not dog shit tier. They kind of are dog shit tier. Yeah. Like, they kind of just are, which has really hurt. And Henry's not really been that good either. So like, what is the price of admission?
Not a first.
Definitely not a first.
Is it like an early second, though? Does it have to be early? Because Derrick Henry's got that name brand. He's not horrible. It's not like he's not startable. He's put up numbers, like decent.
I think right now you might be able to get away with like a pick that would be expected to be like 205 or something. But once the trade happens, if he goes somewhere, like, just, I don't know, what's a hypothetical team? Let's just say like the Ravens trade for him. That jumps up to an early second right away.
A team, and I was going to talk about him later, but I'm thinking maybe the Cowboys, a team that was rumored for him earlier. I think that they could use a running back that, I don't want to get into the Tony Pollard talk right now, but I kind of am segueing into it. So half Derrick Henry, half Tony Pollard.
I think Cowboys would make a ton of sense.
I don't know. It just doesn't look like Tony Pollard's one of these 20 carry game kind of guys.
Nope.
And I don't know if it's because he's like coming off the injury.
Might be. I think he's lost a little bit of juice, it looks like.
Yeah, I was gonna like, I've kind of like, even like the long play he had against the Chargers on third down where Dak was scrambling, then just like passed it to him and Pollard broke the tie. I thought he would house that. And then I don't know. I felt like normally he would have like last year in that situation. So it might be an injury thing, but I'm with you in terms of the fact like I don't think he's a 20 to 25 touch a game guy.
I thought it like after that big play, he started to get a little bit of stuff going. He started making some people miss. But yeah, man, like I think that the Dallas Cowboys would be a really good landing spot for Henry, and you could see him put up like, and I don't think that would kill Tony Pollard either. It would definitely hurt him from being like an elite tier RB1 type of guy. So it's almost like, do we want to get back into Henry and his trade? Like, imagine he did go to the Cowboys. I mean, he's definitely an early second at that point.
Yeah. Cowboys, yeah. Spot will get him to an early second.
I mean, you still might be able to get an early second for Derrick Henry right now. Because, yeah, I agree he hasn't been good, but he has had, I'd say, two pretty solid games so far in terms of fancy output, right? Because the Ravens game, I think he had that long catch for a touchdown, or a catch that he broke for a long touchdown. So to me, I think he's still in that realm of an early second. Maybe you gotta throw a third on top to get that early second kind of thing. But yeah, I'm out on Derrick Henry. I was before. We talked about in trades we were doing a couple weeks ago. I traded him and Jerome Ford away for other players, simply because I thought the cliff was coming, or I thought the cliff was finally here. We've been hearing about it for a while. I still think it can be, especially when he hits that 30 mark. It's not going to look good when the optics of trading a 30-year-old running back just don't ever look good. No. You don't get that value.
Right. And right now, if he does get moved, and you can get, let's say, two late seconds for him, that's the type of deal that it's going to look really good looking back. But at the same time, you might be trading away, even as like if you're a contender, you might be trading away a really good running back. So I think that's a tough spot to be put in. But I think at this point, if he's getting traded, I agree with you. I would probably be looking to just move Henry and say, listen, even as a contender, I'd be looking to move him. If I can get like two late seconds, or an early second and a third, something like that, I think that's just worth it.
I agree.
Now, going into Tony Pollard, though, you think, like in our home league, I think that's the only share of Pollard I have. I mean, listen, dude, any contender with Tony Pollard, he's a plug-and-play guy right now. But at the same time, you know, with the running back landscape the way it is it worth trying to sell Tony Pollard?
What's his running back ranking so far this season? He's RB what? Not dynasty.
Maybe like RB14, I'm going to guess.
Like a high-end RB2. Yeah, it's weird with Pollard because he's been like still productive enough where it's like he's putting RB12 where it's like he's putting up around that tier where it's like high-end RB2, but he hasn't kind of taken the leap that I feel a lot of people thought he would last offseason. I have him, though. I'm probably still just holding on the hope that it's just because he's still coming back from his injury. Because, again, I feel like, I know Frank was saying, like, after the long run he's made, I still feel like watching him, he kind of, not like that, but it looks like he lost a little bit of a half a step, some of his explosiveness. So I think with how young he is, that's something you can kind of bank on to come back. And the Cowboys' offense the first few weeks has just kind of been in the funk. Like, even though they've had games where, like, they've blown out the team, like, 40-0, it'll be, like, the defense scoring, like, 14 of those points. And, like, CeeDee Lamb kind of hasn't had the productive season that people want as well. I think that's kind of the offense settles in as the season goes on. I expect Pollard to be better. But there is always the fear that they bring someone else in, like, as you mentioned, like a Derrick Henry. But I think if I have Pollard, I'm still holding.
He's someone where I was out on at his high prices. I've long been on the team of, I don't think he can carry a full workload.
Yeah, I think he should be.
I would trade him for a mid first kind of thing, like, or a late first.
Yeah, I think at this point, having the Aaron Jones role kind of in an offense.
Or yeah,
carries, well, 4 or 5 catches, like, et cetera.
Yeah, and that, this is where, like, I feel good about that now. I feel right about that, where I feel completely, not completely wrong, but pretty wrong about Achane for the same reasons. Like, I didn't think Achane could carry a full workload. Looks like he might be able to, although now he's out. But yeah, back with Pollard. I know you could still get first for Pollard. So
I don't think I'm at the late first sell point with the way that running backs are right now in the league. Like, as a contender... Dude, these running backs are going, are I have good ones, and I am, like, struggling for depth, right? I have plug-in plays. You know,
yeah, I guess,
you sell one too many of these guys, and you can, that's what's tough. It's like, if you're, because, yeah, if you're a rebuilder or a retooler, fuck out of here.
If you're, like, a heavy, heavy contender, because even ones are, like, you know, maybe I get the bye week, maybe I don't kind of thing. Like, even then, I'm trading for that first. If you're a like heavy contender, sure. But I just think you could spend that value elsewhere than Tony Pollard, who I guess we've just learned is running back 12 on the year. I mean, if I'm looking at players ranked around Tony Pollard, it's players like... I don't know who I move on from Tony Pollard to, actually, now that I'm looking at it.
If they traded for Derrick Henry, is Pollard still worth a late first?
I think he is.
No. He might be.
If I was selling Pollard, I would still want a first. It could be a late first, but I would still want a first jump back.
Like, right now, he's ranked right around Mark Andrews. I'd much rather, like, Mark Andrews, I think, is... Obviously, I'd rather have Kyle Pitts, but I think Mark Andrews is one of the top players at his position and is giving you such a huge positional value that Tony Pollard doesn't. Other players around there, T. Higgins, JSN, you're not getting Kyler at that price. Yeah, those are probably the ones I'd move on to. I mean, obviously, always Kyle Pitts. But yeah, I do see what you're saying though, Frank, because it's like Tony Pollard, and then if we just look strictly at running backs, the running back landscape after the likes of Tony Pollard get bleak very quickly. Like, we're talking Josh Jacobs, Austin Eckler, and Saquon Barkley are the three immediately after him.
I think they're fine.
They're like, yeah, they're like ranked right next to him essentially. And then after those, it gets super sketchy with Swift, Montgomery, Pacheco, James Cook, Kyren Williams, who we're going to talk about, Brian Robinson. Like, it gets...
Wait, am I overthinking this? Quickly. Should I just go Tony Pollard plus for a better running back? Is that the play?
What's the better running back?
Move up the ladder?
Yeah, just move up the ladder. Like,
well, there aren't many that you can move up to, considering he's running back 9. So, I mean, who, like... Breece Hall, Etienne...
I think Etienne might be a decent one.
If I can get either of those, what would you have to add on Pollard to get? Breece Hall's ahead of Etienne, right?
Late second. What do you think? Late second for Etienne.
I don't think.
No brainer.
I don't think
you're. You don't think that gets accepted? Pollard in a late second for Etienne?
I don't think so. I wouldn't accept that on the Etienne side.
Yeah, I also wouldn't. I mean, Keep Trade Cut says it is fair.
No, Etienne's been awesome this season. I think it would take more. Probably close to like the early second range, honestly, because Etienne's been pretty productive this year. And then Breece Hall, I mean, I don't know what his exact dynasty ranking is on Keep Track Up, but I still consider him a top 3 or 4 dynasty running back.
What about for Taylor, Jonathan Taylor?
Taylor is an interesting
one. Or Kenneth Walker.
It's probably closer. I would still much rather have.
Shit, dude, you're right. Like, this, man, this is rough. These running backs are so rough.
Right?
On PDR.
After the first 15, it gets gross.
All Okay, what if I just give Tony Pollard and two firsts for Bijan?
That's a lot. But I like Bijan.
Are they late firsts? Like you're a contender?
In this instance, they would be 25 firsts, and I don't know, you could fucking think they're late, but who knows what the hell could happen. I mean, I'd probably want, like, Bijan and a smidge, but
yeah,
just to make myself feel a little bit better.
Don't hate the idea, though, because Bijan's fucking insane.
Yeah, it's just tough cooping up all your value into a running back like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a lot to give up for a running back.
How much on top of Pollard would I have to give for Jahmyr Gibbs?
Probably not much, considering how nothing Gibbs has been.
That might be the late second trade.
Is that even worth doing, though, at that point? Because, like, once again, I'm trying to win.
I don't think you have
to. Kind of suck, but I think long term I would do. Because I mean, Gibbs is a better talent than Pollard.
Yeah. I think the thing about Gibbs, I saw theories about this online where it's like David Montgomery can't handle the full workload. That's why we've seen him injured twice already. We should see Jahmyr Gibbs coming in soon. I think there could be some credence to that, but to me, this has always been it's the case of the Lions with DeAndre Swift. They're using them the same way. It's like you have this very good running back, but you have this preconceived notion that, like, oh, this is our changeup back. This is the guy, we can't give him all the carries kind of thing. And to an extent, it's the same thing with a Tony Pollard and A-Chain that I thought, where they are kind of more undersized players. You know, maybe you actually can't give them the full workload. So
did you see that Dan Campbell, like, press conference, I think, last week where he talked about it?
Yeah, and that's what I'm referencing.
Yeah, no, which it's like, I guess the part I don't understand on the Lions end is if that was, like, your vision, why you said, like, what was it, 12th pick on him?
Yeah, why would you just trade DeAndre Swift, who you already had, like that changeup running back that you already had, and use such a high pick to then do this?
Or draft thing? Someone like an A-Chain or Kendre Miller in like the mid rounds.
I just think that the biggest issue has been Jahmyr Gibbs' kind of inconsistencies in his ability to execute the run scheme. I when you get David Montgomery, you kind of are in that, okay, you're going to get a consistent, like, 3-4 yards most carries, right? With a decent little bit of upside, he can make guys miss. Whereas you're definitely going to get way more juice from Jahmyr Gibbs, but just, I think, too often, this is from the Lions' perspective, because I do still think he's being underutilized, but I think too often you see him just not executing as well as he should be, especially for someone his talent level. But I don't understand why they don't just do a lot more double running back sets and, you know, incorporate motion with Gibbs and whatnot all around, right? You can really start doing some interesting things. Like, why not just see more of that? Because I do agree with you. Like, this guy should be on the field at least 60% of the time if you're using a top 15 pick on him.
The Titans have been doing that with Tajay and Derrick Henry. And yeah, I wish the Lions were doing that more often too.
Because I think it works way better for the Lions than it does for the Titans.
I think I'd move off Pollard into Gibbs.
I would.
The late second feels like it might be even be a bit of an overpay. I don't know if you have to give that up, considering that Tony Pollard's actually been outproducing Gibbs so far.
Yeah. I mean, I'd prefer a third, but I think I'd go up to a late second. Like, really, like, I would expect it to be in, like, the 210 to 212 range.
Okay, so then
now we're by Nick Chubb.
This not is a bad one. Lunas, your guy's back, though, now that we're talking Jahmyr Gibbs and Lions. We've got Jameson Williams, which I do find interesting, though, because it reminds me a lot of Quinn Johnston, where it's this guy's not seeing anything. He's not seeing anything. But the difference is Jameson Williams catches the long touchdown. You don't get that from Quinn Johnston. Now Jameson Williams, everyone's celebrating him being back. They're like, yes, let's go. I don't know. Is he actually back? Like, is I mean, he's back from gambling suspension, but like,
yeah. I thought it looked really good.
You do? You think he looked really good?
Yeah, I thought he looked very explosive. Like,
there was a play, it was an incompletion where he kind of ran up the sideline, cut on the dime, and turned back. Jared Goff was getting hit, so the throw was short. But he smoked the corner. The corner was, like, backpedaling back 7 steps because he couldn't keep up with him. I thought he'd, like, look good. He looks healthy now. And with Jamison, I mean, it's just kind of they're still ramping him up. Like Dan Campbell said after the game, as he plays more, they'll get for more reps. The game didn't really do anything for me in terms of, like, oh, like, I'm way high. Because I kind of expected him to be able to do what he did. So, I mean, it was kind of a situation where we talked about it on a pod a couple weeks ago where if, like, if you either kind of are high on him or you're not, and I don't think a game like this is going to change a ton, because if you weren't, you'd just be like, oh, he just caught the one deep pass. But if you were, you're like, that's kind of what I expected him to do in the league. So I don't think that this really changes, because I'd always just kind of been pretty high on him. I do think, though, as he continues to get more reps, I mean, like I've said before, I think he can be a really good receiver in the league. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to watch. But it was encouraging seeing him actually start to get some, like, real looks and targets.
I don't know. I like what I saw from him.
You look deep in thought there, Frank. I don't know what
I'm curious as to what price I would value him at, because I think I would still take the average random first over Jameson Williams, even a heavy contender first. I think I might take over Jameson Williams, but right after that, I think is where Jameson Williams starts to reside, right? Like in that. And I do really like what I saw. I saw a trade that, that David Gautieri guy did. Mm-hmm. He sold Burks and whatnot. He sold he bought Burks and someone else and gave up Jameson Williams. And I don't know. It was like a bunch of random, like meh-ish, like, oh, we've been weird receivers. Like Elijah Moore probably fits in there as well. And to be honest, of all those types of receivers, I think Jameson Williams is the one that I would pick out of that basket. Right. If you were to throw Burks, Judy, maybe even like Christian Watson. I don't really know what he's been up to be completely honest with you. Has he been really good?
He's been okay. Is Dotson in that tier now?
Yeah, like Dotson, like all these random receivers that have had down-ish years. I would probably put, if Jameson Williams is not one, he's very high in my list of them.
Okay. I think I'd still rather Burks. The problem is that Burks is just on that Titans team, and I hate it there. I hate, especially with D-Hop there, he's still commanding that huge target share and Burks being injured.
How long is he still been hurt? How long is he out for? What's going on there?
I think this is their bye week. So he missed 2 weeks, now bye week, so that'll be 3 weeks, and then maybe he'll be coming back. Okay. I don't know. I mean, they didn't put him on IR 2 weeks ago, so makes me think he should be coming back either next week or that following. I don't know. In terms of bringing it back to Jameson Williams, I think he's okay, but I just always think until the public just completely changes their mindset on him, I'm probably just going to be lower on him than the norm. You know, because he's ranked above players like Mike Evans, Jacoby Myers, Deontay, those guys that I would just rather have those guys than Jameson.
You think Jacoby Myers over Jameson right now?
Mm-hmm. I'm a big Jacoby guy. I'm like, yeah, we know this.
I think Jacoby will probably have better fantasy numbers for this season, but because it's dynasty, I'm taking Jameson.
Okay, so next up we've got Adam Thielen, who is a top 5 wide receiver on the year.
Crazy.
And all while we were talking before the podcast, Loomis, you were saying people still think he's washed. Like it's just that he's just getting crazy output. Cause
I thought it was heavily washed.
I mean, look, he probably is, but that Panthers wide receiving core is so bad. Like he's still the guy. Yeah. Like I think DJ Chark's pretty bad. I think Jonathan Mingo was a terrible draft pick, and Terrace Marshall, who I really liked, has been well, I don't know if a bust is the right word for where he was drafted, but he's been pretty bad too, like awful. So yeah, I guess Adam Thielen's the guy and he's producing, and Bryce Young getting tied to that rookie quarterback where they're looking to throw the ball. Not the worst scenario, but like, is this something where you need to trade Adam Thielen right away before it completely falls out? Or are you
just going to ride him into the sunset? I'd be moving for a second in every league, every scenario.
So I was going to say, the smart move is what Frank said, because I think the second...
And you're an idiot for not doing it, by the way, Lunas. You're an idiot.
For not what?
If you can get a second and you're not doing it, there's no justification.
I just don't know if you can get that second.
So I'm in the situation where I have Thielen and I'm a contender with little to no depth, where I'm kind of like, it's hard for me, even though I think the smart move, like long term, would be to trade him for a second. So if I'm a meddling team or maybe a playoff team that isn't like a big contender, I'm doing that. But I'm in a situation, if anyone else is, where it's, you say you view yourself as a top two or three team in the league and you have him, and he's giving you like top seven wide receiver numbers thus far this season, it's kind of hard to move off if you're like trying to go all in on a certain year. Because you still might be able to get, maybe not the second you can right now, but probably like, I don't know, maybe an early third or like a late second at the end of the year. If you just
can you actually get a second for Adam Thielen though?
Apparently. Like if I'm on Reddit victory lapping, they picked him up for a second.
Oh, then yeah, he's off my team.
See ya.
I would guess a playoff team second. But yeah.
He's out.
Weird. Because I also think he is for like pretty well. I don't know.
Well, all right. So I'm going to segue into this other one. So Kyren Williams is now injured on the Rams. I think I talked about it on the podcast, but his usage just seemed so high that it seemed unlikely that he was going to be able to do what he was doing for the full year. And that's clearly the case here. He didn't get put on IR. He avoided that. It looks like he should be back shortly. But circling it back to Thielen, I think it's kind of the same thing where this is a guy who's been battling injuries for a couple of years. It took a couple of years for him to get back to where he was. How long is that the case? Like, you know, if he does get injured, if he's out for a couple of weeks, I think that's where the value floor completely falls out. Kyren Williams, I don't think the floor is going to fall out on, because like we've seen, he's young, like he's only in the league a couple of years now. Great usage, and I'd say his competition is currently pretty bad on the Rams.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we're talking about him here, is like the next guy up, and maybe that's Zach Evans, but I don't think it's going to be. And then we're talking about the likes of, I forget who they just signed.
Royce Freeman.
Yeah, Royce Freeman, and is it Gaskin is the other one? They signed someone else too, the Rams.
Henderson.
They added Henderson. And
they have another team. I'm just forgetting their name.
Royce Freeman, Miles Gaskin, and Daryl Henderson are who their current running backs are.
And yeah, Ronnie, so who's going to be the guy? You think Zach Evans is going to get the majority of the workload? Or are we going to see Royce Freeman?
I want Zach Evans to be, but I don't think he will be.
This week it's going to be Zach Evans.
I don't think so. Sean McVay even said
this week.
Sean McVay, they asked him like, "Oh, is it going to be Zach Evans?"
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, the thing is, if Zach Evans was good, why? Like, we would have seen him play at least some.
He's been a healthy scratch. He hasn't even been.
Like the fact that Ronnie Rivers was getting carries over him was like, well, that's
the guy I was forgetting about.
He's on IR.
Yeah, he's hurt too. But like, I mean, he hasn't like even played, which is like, it's really, you know, I've seen Zach Evans as like the majority waiver claim, but it's one of these annoying scenarios where right now there's no clear handcuff, right? And this is a good offense.
Yeah, no, I think people who are playing Zach Evans, you're mostly just banking on just the usage and the fact that like they've stuck with like normally one back playing a heavy majority of the game and getting heavy majority of the touches. And the fact that these guys they brought in, they signed them, was it yesterday?
Something I don't like think that. I'm playing Zach Evans if I picked him up or have him. I don't like.
No.
I'm playing Curtis Samuel over Zach Evans easily. And how many players are you, can you say that for? Like that you're actually going to play?
Whoa.
I'm pretty desperate and lucky to have him as my RB2 this week, Zach Evans. But it's mostly because I have it's like a redraft league. My running backs were Breece Hall, A-Chain, and DeAndre Swift. A-Chain hurt. Breece Hall on bye, and I just don't have another running back. So I'm winging it.
In our home league, here are all the players that I feel comfortable starting over him that are on my team currently. Roshan Johnson, if he's healthy, which he still isn't practicing with his concussion, so who knows. Antonio Gibson, Rashid Shaheed, Rondale Moore, Taysom Hill with Juwan Johnson out and their cluster at quarterbacks, whatever's going on. I'll start him over Zach Evans. Noah Fant, I'd hard consider starting over Zach Evans. I don't think I'm playing. Like, Zach Evans, I legitimately think could put up a zero spot in your lineup. Like, that is a possibility. He might put up, like, 2 points. Like, he might get, like, 5 carries, 22 yards, and then that be it for Zach Evans. I'm not trusting Zach Evans this week. I liked him in college. His draft capital didn't support what I thought. His preseason showing didn't. His healthy scratch on a team that traded away a running back hasn't helped. So to me, I'm not starting Zach Evans. And that's a team where I struggle with depth. I have like 6 players out on bye.
Dude, now that I'm thinking about it, the Rams right now, like every single one of their running backs that isn't Ronnie Rivers, like it's just a team of running back prospects I really didn't like. Like
Gaskin and Freeman and Henderson.
I did like Gaskin. But Freeman, Henderson, Kyren Williams, and Zach Evans.
Gaskin was nice at Washington.
Yeah, but didn't he take that extra year to break out though? Because I think I dropped him in a lot of leagues.
Yeah.
Which is frustrating.
All right, speaking of running backs, we still have Zach Moss, who is still producing, even with Jonathan Taylor back. I think you added this one.
That's mainly what I wanted to talk about was what's the situation, in your opinion, with Zach Moss? Because sell window is gone, but he has been productive. He's actually been like a top 30 fantasy player on the year.
Yeah, I don't think that sell window is gone, especially with Anthony Richardson out. I think this is a team that's going to keep it on the ground.
But, like, is it – what do you I think he's probably in the third round kind of tier. Is that even worth doing? Because, I don't know, he's still seeing a sizable workload.
Third round gets tough, especially, like, if you're trying to compete.
It could be fourth round.
What'd you say, Lunas?
Are you saying third round's tough, like it could be fourth round?
No, I'm saying giving up Zach Moss for a third rounder, because I see a world where he creeps into that second round valuation, or like I could do a third for him and him plus
that,
a third.
That I think is more likely if you give him
Zach Moss
him plus what's his name, Zach Moss plus a third for the second.
Yeah, I would do that.
I think
you could do that too.
You probably have a decent chance at getting that return if you try offering it to the person who has Jonathan Taylor, because then there's a little bit of added handcuff value there. So that's probably what I would be doing.
Dude, I just came up with a good segment.
What's that?
Well, let's hit Wandell and Mayer first.
Okay.
Actually, I'll keep it for next episode. How about that?
Okay. Well, we'll do Wandell here. Actually, no, let's do Mayer. I don't know what you guys were, what direction you want to take this in, but I feel kind of vindicated on Michael Mayer. What are your guys' thoughts on Mayer?
Go ahead, Frank.
I don't know. I was curious to hear what you guys had to say, but I mean, he's definitely been putting up numbers. I mean, I have him on one of my best ball teams, and finally he's been able to make the fucking lineup.
Yeah.
I just He had one good game against the Patriots, and other than that, he hasn't really done anything. I don't trust him at all. I think he's a far way away from what people were claiming to be
I still think though with things like that, like I feel like Sam Laporta has kind of ruined shit for the other rookie tight ends. Because we forget that, like, besides Kyle Pitts' rookie season, where like he was the first rookie tight end ever to have 1,000 yards, we historically you don't really expect much in the rookie seasons out of these tight ends. Like obviously Sam Laporta now is just fucking going crazy. But I think with him, with Kincaid hasn't produced a ton either as a rookie.
Right.
Musgrave has been here and there. I wouldn't really
feel Musgrave's been pretty good.
He's been good. The other two. I wouldn't really be kind of panicking or feel like vindicated one way or the other on any of these. Like you could feel vindicated for Laporta because he's just been stud. But the other guys, like, you really don't really expect until like year two, year three.
I think that what's his name is startable now. Mayer startable. I'm surprised you guys aren't more on the Mayer bandwagon with me.
He's only had one good game.
It's the immediate ramp up in snaps is what I am really interested in, because I mean this is a common trend that we see with rookies when they actually start playing and playing well, is you see that, you know, just rapid uptick in a couple of weeks in snaps. I think last, like that game against the Patriots, he's basically on the field the entire game. That's what I want to see. I mean, that's a team that's going to throw the ball. So if he's playing 80%+ of snaps, I think he's startable.
My thing with this is, again, it was against the Patriots where this team had a super depleted entire defense. Like everyone on that defense is injured. And they did that thing where they take away that number one option. They took away Davante Adams. Davante Adams had like 2 catches for 29 yards. I'm not expecting any, like, I don't think we're going to see repeat production from Mayer anytime soon. I get that they're playing the Bears this week, and that's a good opposition. Like, that's a good defense to go against. But with the Jimmy G back issues, with Jacoby Myers and Davante Adams being there, and those two guys like their target share, like they get big target shares, I don't see him actually being a reliable option. And I think he's going to be a much more touchdown-dependent play than he is going to be a 5 for 70 like he did against the Patriots.
The issue is like outside of the top, like, what, 6 tight ends? Most of them are, like, touchdown-dependent. That's why I kind of leaned
that. Yeah, but I think you can trust the
way that it is.
I think there's at least 12 that I think you can actually rely on to give you points that aren't touchdown dependent, in terms of Mark Andrews, definitely, Laporta, Hockenson, Kelsey, obviously.
Kittle.
Then from there, Kittle. I would still rather Kincaid. I'm not going to even put him there, though. I'm not going to count him. Freiermuth. Who'd you see? Goddard.
I don't know. If you're looking for points, Freiermuth, you may want to look the other way.
He's injured currently, or he's been battling injury. Musgrave, I would still rather have.
Yeah, whole Steelers offense is injured.
Johnny Smith is currently a top 12 tight end. I don't know how much I would trust that, but Hunter Henry, I'd still like. And Njoku, I'd still like. I'm trying to think of other players. There's a lot of players that I'd still rather have over Mayer, and I think I'm not buying into whatever his price is currently, because I still think it's too high. I think he got too hyped in college. I don't think it's come down enough yet from where he was in college. So I'm still out.
I can't wait for the Brock Bowers discourse next season.
That should be interesting.
Yeah. What do you mean? What discourse? Everyone's gonna say he's a god.
Well, it's going to be like, is he tight end one right off the bat?
Tight end prospect ever, but then it's like, he's a rookie tight end. He doesn't go crazy right away. And
he's tight end one right now.
He has some injuries.
Don't get it twisted.
He's not better than Kyle Pitts. He's not. He's not in the same atmosphere as Kyle Pitts.
I think Pitts was a better... it's close. I think Pitts was a bit better at Florida, but...
He's not in the same atmosphere as Kyle Pitts. Guaranteed.
Wandale Robinson. He's been pretty good. What is his value? If I wanted to trade for Wandale Robinson, what do I have to give up for him if I'm a contender?
At least I can
late, second round.
I mean, Q Trey Cut's telling me it is a late second.
Late second. I'm a little bit higher on him, so I'd probably want a mid. Because I think he's good.
Dude, am I the only one thinking that, like, listen, I sold Wandale. I don't really hate what I did because I gave up Wandale in a second for Purdy in that 14-team league, which I would do it again.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I kind of wish I picked someone else other than Wandale. Because, dude, I don't know if anyone, like, Wandale is good. Wandale's getting a shit ton of targets. And... what other Giants receiver can you say is look good?
He's the best receiving threat on that team.
I think this guy's going to be like 10 plus targets a game for the rest of the season. A late second?
I wouldn't trade for a late second.
A mid second? I'll do a fucking mid second. I don't give a shit. As long as I know that bad boy's not 202, 201, boom, see ya.
Yeah, I agree. I've liked Wandale a lot.
Dude, if you could do some other more clever way to get in there instead of giving up just the mid-second, go off. I say do it. Like, I think in my leagues, I'm going to be looking and inquiring about the price of Wandale Robinson. And I was curious to see if people were like, oh, first rounder. Like, I think Wandale is another player like Jameson Williams that if I have the Judys of the world, Traylon, the league where I have Traylon, I'm going to see if I can probably flip him into Wandale.
Traylon, yeah, I think at this point, too. Traylon's such a weird, unique situation.
I don't know. I like Traylon, but at the same time, he's in the Misfits box right now. And if you're in the Misfits box, you're...
you got to crawl your way up.
Listen, when you look at second-round picks compared to Misfits, I think the hit rates are a lot better in the second-round pick department a lot more of the time. So when you start going in the Misfits box, there's a cliff right next to the edge of the box where that value's not high.
Yeah.
Agreed. All right, which segment do you want to do now?
Okay, I want to touch on trading for early first because I saw, I don't know where the fuck I saw it. It was either Reddit or Twitter or X or something. I don't know. Maybe I saw it in a dream. Who knows? I saw some dude, I think it was X actually. It was like one of these big dynasty people. He said like something along the lines of like, beware of trading for early firsts because you don't know if they're actually early or you don't know the prospect or some argument against beware trading for early firsts. And I was thinking about it, right? I don't think there is really any risk at trading for a pick that is in the top six. Even when you do... without it being a significant overpay, right? You can't do a significant... but even if you slightly overpay or do a moderate overpay, I think that it works out more times than not.
I completely agree. And I think a lot of times, well, one, if anyone in that top six just plays decently, you've already, like profited off that pick value. Like, say, whether it be a quarterback or, like, the RB1 or 2, the wide receiver 1 or 2, and even if they're just kind of like meh or underwhelming, you can usually sell for still like pretty good first round value after that first season. Like that, what we've talked about before in terms of just like if a rookie's kind of you could still sell for good value after the rookie season. So that's where I'm with you. Where I think it's just mostly just being careful of overpaying because a lot of people that have those top five picks will usually look for like a haul to be able to move off that. But if you can put together a reasonable offer and it's nothing more than just like a bit of a slight overpay, I think more times than not it pays off. Like if you look at the past, I don't know, few drafts, like the top five picks in each of them, you could still get like your bet, like even, I don't know, let's just say JSN this year was going like 6th, 5th, you could still get a good first for JSN.
Yeah, you could, if anything, there's obviously some risk with the draft class that you kind of get a dud. I think what that Kyler Murray draft class, if you were at like 105, 106, it probably wasn't like, yeah, it's still valuable, but it probably wasn't the best thing in the world compared to like, you know, the 2021 draft, where basically every pick up until like 111 was like basically valued at a mid or early esque first.
Like Waddle and Etienne were going.
Yeah,
I was just looking up while you're saying this, Frank, because I got flack for trading away Dak Prescott for two firsts, where I was like, one of them is going to be early, one of them probably in the mid range, and that was in the 21-21 class. And they ended up essentially turning into Jamar Chase and Najee Harris. So, I mean, just Jamar alone, you're winning.
Yeah, like if you hold the player to longevity and the draft pick to maturity where you actually pick the player, there's obviously inherent risk in that. But in terms of actual return, I would make the argument that the picks that increase the most in value most of the time are picks like 104, 105, 106, because then you get you start to get names to those picks. And when people start making the tiers, you can have a tier in that tier two that extends into those picks. Whereas when you're looking out of draft classes, that 105 is valued significantly less than 102 and 103, at least projected, right? Like the second worst team compared to the fifth worst team. So I think that these early, and we did a trade in our rebuild league, one of our orphan league, where we gave up at the time Derrick Henry and D-Hop for an early first, which ended up being Kyle Pitts. Whether that's panned out or not, we've held Kyle Pitts, so like it's kind of boned us a little bit, but we could have sold Kyle Pitts for a significant value if we were smarter.
No, we're smart by holding him.
But at the same time, at the time, it's an overpay, right? Derrick Henry and D-Hop are two really great players, but that early first is money, man. It's money, and it's almost guaranteed to, in the future, be a better trade, unless you give up just smashes, like smash young players in exchange for the early first. Or maybe like the real bear case happens, and it's a really terrible draft class, and the pick comes out to 106.
I think trading for any perceived early to mid first 90% of the time is just making up a random number, but I feel like it's going to work out, or at least you're not going to regret it. So I agree with you, Frank. Anything else you want to touch on with that?
Yeah, no buyer beware. If you read that tweet, go the other direction, man.
Lean into it. Turn into the drift, or whatever it's called, skid.
All right, let's get into this one. Is it worth selling Zay Flowers? So, okay, I'm a heavy rebuilder. I happen to be... So I traded Josh Jacobs, and Zay Flowers was the guy that I ended up getting as the primary piece from that trade. Team is fucking awful. That team is so bad. I'm a huge rebuilder, right? I have Zay Flowers. I think Zay Flowers has been a nice little pick. I picked him up at 111, right? Is it worth selling him? Like, should I try and get a random first and random second for him?
Yep. Because he's good, but he's not like elite. And you just reroll and you get the chance of getting an elite guy.
I think
it's that simple.
Elite, though.
He's showing, you know, if he was elite, like, you'd know. He's good.
I think he's pretty good.
Not elite.
I'm going so back and forth on this.
I'd do it.
If it's a ran...
Do you think I could get a first and a second for Zay Flowers?
Yeah.
That thing, you'd probably end up being like a second half first.
Yeah, it'd have to be from a contender, sure. But I'd try to just push it out as many years as I can. Where and just hopefully the RNG of life helps me.
Prototypical like alpha receiver build, but like I don't see any reason he can't be like an Amon-Ra.
Outside of like the top, let me see what my arbitrary cutoff is. Outside of the top,
I'm gonna say Flowers
12, maybe even 10 wide receivers. If you offer me a first and a second for my wide receiver, I'm probably saying yes.
What say Flower is at?
He's wide receiver 15.
15? Who's like the guy right above and below him?
Above is Brandon Ayuk, below is Addison.
Yeah, that's got to be first and second territory.
Yeah.
I understand why you would take it, because again, I'm considering this like a later half, first and second, because it's probably a contender moving forward. I like Zay Flowers a lot. I think he's going to end up being like, he is like slowly, if not already, getting like the most targets on that team, even over Mark Andrews. I thought he's looked explosive with the ball in his hands. I don't know. I'm on Zay Flowers' side.
At the same time, too, though, if my team is so dog shit, right, then I'm not going to compete within the next 2 years, probably.
Yeah.
Without some serious, like crazy hits with later round picks. I almost need to mitigate as much risk as possible and collect value. You know? And is Zay Flowers at the point now where I can get enough that it's just worth to be like, okay, I can just store the value in a first and a second. Like, is that worth, like, from a game theory kind of perspective?
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. It's so tough.
I'm doing that.
I think Zay Flowers can continue to the point where it's like, if he finishes his rookie year, where it seems like he's projecting and like his production continues to increase, I think by the end of his rookie year, he might be able to sneak into like the two first range. If he just continues to be the number one receiver on the Ravens offense.
I do agree with that. I think that especially like we've seen so many receivers get so hyped going into their sophomore year because you expect everything to get even better from what you did. If he comes out here and puts up just under or at 1,000 yards, then everyone's going to be like, listen, I agree with you, JT. I'm not sure he's going to be in that elite category, but people are going to be like, oh, yeah, he's going out there with Lamar, 1,200 yards. Like,
that's the thing. Yeah. I'll keep him, but I think if you are looking to trade him, I think if he just continues to space and doesn't get injured and continues to get more looks, I think he'd come pretty close this offseason, especially what Frank said, like the sophomore year hype. There's a pretty good chance he'd be able to get two firsts, or maybe like Zay Flowers in a third for two firsts or something.
Okay. All right. Yeah. It was just interesting discussion I thought I'd have for us orphan takers or heavy rebuilders. All right. The dirt cheap contender target. Hear me out. I might be a little crazy with this one, but Lunas, you're telling me you have no depth in any of these leagues. Well, here's a dude that you might be able to snag for a fourth. You ready for this?
I'm here.
How about the Bourne ultimatum, Kendrick Bourne?
Can you get him for it? You might be able to, yeah.
Maybe dude, Kendrick Bourne's been low-key nice. Kendrick Bourne's been making plays.
He's the best receiver, yeah. Which is, like...
Yeah, it's okay.
I think Kendrick Bourne's like low-key Zay Jones status. Like,
if we're talking dirt cheap, then yeah, Kendrick Bourne is someone I would get.
Bourne for a fourth, like an early fourth, I'm doing that without question.
Then offer it. Who's got Kendrick Bourne?
I don't know.
If I'm a rebuilder and I have Kendrick Bourne, I would probably take a fourth, or I'd probably counteroffer like Kendrick Bourne a fourth for a third, but...
Yeah.
Sure. Not-
I think Kendrick Bourne is an interesting one because he's going to be the probably lead the Patriots in targets by the end of the season, him or Hunter Henry.
You could test him for a fourth or maybe like a Tyson Bagent. I don't know.
You trade him for Kendrick Bourne kind of thing?
I don't know. I'm just throwing ideas out. Josh Dobbs? Who knows?
Sure. I mean, at that price, yeah. Why not?
We can save this segment for a future sode.
Okay.
Last one.
Oh, the last segment. Okay. So are we sticking with the dirt cheap buys then? Any other?
Oh, no, honestly, that was really it. But if you guys have any, go ahead. I still think Taysom Hill's one. We saw his usage really uptick. It'd be interesting to see if that lasts.
Light the wick. Dontavian Wicks has looked good when he's playing. It's kind of an injury away. Daniel Bellinger.
I feel like his value is kind of plummeted. I don't know if it's like fourth round low, but definitely like somewhere later third. Just because of DeAndre Swift's injury history, I kind of have been like peeping around for Gainwell, because I can't count on DeAndre Swift to stay healthy. And I think whoever's the RB1 with that Eagles O-line is going to be very productive.
Especially okay. if you were like, now is definitely a good time to handcuff, now that the Gainwell hype is fully stopped and then some.
Yeah. And Swift has just gotten like injured, maybe not every year of his career, but most. At some point,
I think that you'd have to pay a third, and it's an annoying price of admission, I would say.
If it is like an early third, yeah. I'd be hoping to be like get him at like maybe the late third, but I understand that. I just think Gainwell is an interesting guy with considering Swift's injury history and that O line being like a cheat code for any running back.
But at the same time, like of all the handcuffed running backs, he may have the highest upside.
I mean, we saw, like, DeAndre Swift now is what, like, top five in the league in rushing? And you saw Miles Sanders last year had, like, 1,300 yards. Now this year in Carolina, he's been terrible. Like, whichever starting back is there, like, you're going to be producing.
All right, impromptu last segment. Elijah Mitchell, what's he worth?
It's a good question. I was thinking about that with, like, the CMC injury with, like, him, and then there's Jordan Mason.
So keep trade cut tells me he's worth a mid third.
That was going to be my guess.
I think you might be able to scam your way.
I think you can get an early third for sure.
I'm not giving up a second for Elijah Mitchell, but I think you could get one.
Giving up for Elijah? I'd give up the early third. I don't know if I can go into the second round.
All right.
I agree.
And with that, I think that'll do it from us here. If you made it this far, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. Really appreciate it. Hit the subscribe and like button. We will catch you next Tuesday or Wednesday. We've been kind of audible into Wednesdays recently.
Yeah. That's
my fault. Check the X or the Twitter. We will tweet out when we go live. So peace out. See ya.
Thanks, everyone.
See you guys.